Okay, we're back for our second hour in the Investigative Journal. In this hour, we're going to concentrate on New Orleans and the tragedy that occurred there. First hour, we're discussing 9/11 and the Citizen Candidate Party. But again, we're going to talk about New Orleans this whole hour. You may want to call us, 800-313-9443. I will open up the lines for other topics also. But let me preview this. We've got a short segment here, and then I'm going to get to my first guest, Ryan Washington. Ryan Washington's been with me before. He was my eyes and ears in New Orleans after Katrina, and in the months and even a year later we were talking about it. And Ryan is a bus driver there. He's a city bus driver who lived in the Ninth Ward and knows many, many people in town. And with the state of our media, not being able to rely on people, there's no better reporter in the world than an honest bus driver who knows everyone, who talks, and is not afraid to help his fellow citizens. He does it every day in his service of transporting them. And Ryan was a real hero during Katrina by extending his hand to so many citizens. And he's got a story that's incredible. But he also updates us on the real progress, or lack thereof, in New Orleans. And this story we're going to get to Ryan in a few minutes, but this also dovetails a story. We're going to bring on another woman at Clotilde Mack at the bottom of the hour to join Ryan, because Clotilde Mack is a story, if you followed the Arctic Beacon and my investigative journal, through the eyes of Clotilde Mack, through her tragedy, an 85-year-old woman who spent 10 days in her attic in the Ninth Ward. By the grace of God, she survived. On 3 cans of beans and a few small bottles of water, she survived 10 days. And it's such an interesting, and so the story of Clotilde Mack and how we brought her back to New Orleans on this show, you listeners, and with the help of my motorhome, really was the... Through her, you could see exactly the whole story and the whole tragedy of New Orleans. Right now, she's just about ready to move into her home after you know how long it's been since Katrina. And she's one of the few in her neighborhood, she says, that are actually back in New Orleans. And not because the people didn't want to come back. It's because they were prevented from coming back by an orchestrated effort to keep them away and then take their property. And through the story of Clotilde Mack and how you listeners in this show provided the money to get her back home, how I provided the incentive by following her story and then taking an active role as an activist to bring her home. At least we could bring one person back in the as FEMA and the rest of these politicians were playing games with these people. It was a very, and some people called it the feel-good story of last year, when we finally got her back to New Orleans right around New Year's, and the story still continues. So we're going to really get into New Orleans this hour. If you want to call us, 800-313-9443, and you can talk with my guest who will be on just right after this break, Ryan Washington, a bus driver from New Orleans, who's basically should be a newspaper reporter. We should be paid for his reporting, because the lack thereof by the real reporters, it's a shame that his newspaper didn't put him on the payroll, because he deserved it, because he gave you a clearer story than what those journalists were talking about there and their accounts of what was going on in New Orleans. So we will talk to him. I also, when I come right back, we're going to get to Ryan, but during this hour, before I bring Clotilde on, I'm going to explain her story a little bit so you get a rundown of what we did, what you listeners did on the show last year. We'll be back right after this short message.
You got headaches? Most headaches are caused by a structural weakness of blood vessels in the head, and the blood vessels are tending to balloon, causing a headache. The structural weakness is due to a deficiency. correct the deficiency, and the body will heal itself. I blended what I believed to be the missing nutrients in the right proportions, and the headaches went away. When they were gone, they stayed gone. I named it Headache Stay Gone. See headachestaygone.com or call 800-327-0727 for more information or to place an order. I'll send you a bottle of Headache Stay Gone. Headache Stay Gone will cure your headaches and prevent them from coming back before you pay the bill. Headache Stay Gone has already cured the worst migraines I have ever heard of. Call 800-327-0727. All orders are shipped the same day. Call 800-327-0727. That's 800-327-0727.
Hi, Michelle. I haven't seen you on the bus for a while. Did they change your shift?
No, Lori. I finally quit my job. I'm working at home now, and I love it. No more commuting. And I'm home when the kids get out of school.
Working at home? Doing what?
It's a long story. It all started when I discovered the website earnmoneyathome123.com.
Oh, Michelle, you didn't fall for one of those internet deals, did you?
Well, I looked into several, and this one is for real.
Are you sure?
I didn't quit my job until I was sure, and now I'm making way more money working at home.
Really?
I've joined the success team in their major advertising co-op. Our business is fully automated, which gives me more money and the time to enjoy it. I'll be earning money while we're skiing this winter.
What was that website again?
EarnMoneyAtHome123.com. Here, write it down.
Good idea. EarnMoneyAtHome123.com. Maybe we can go skiing this winter, too.
EarnMoneyAtHome123.com is a global opportunity.
The Idaho Observer is one of the last independent American presses and isn't afraid to print the truth. The Idaho Observer is a monthly 24-page hard copy newspaper in its fifth year of addressing important issues affecting all freedom-loving Americans. If you are concerned about the burgeoning national debt and the Orwellian police state growing up around you, then subscribe to the Idaho Observer. Only $25 for 12 monthly issues. Idaho Observer readers receive vital insight into events as they unfold. Our articles editorially emphasize activism and serve as a networking tool for like-minded individuals determined to make a difference. The Idaho Observer, printing what you need to be fully informed on issues that matter to real Americans. Go to idaho-observer.com or call 208-255-2307. That's 208-255-2307.
Broken lines, broken strings, broken threads, broken springs, broken idols, broken heads, people sleeping in broken beds. Ain't no use jiving, ain't no use joking. Everything is broken.
Okay, we're back in the Investigative Journal, and my guest is Ryan Washington. He's a bus driver from New Orleans, and he was my eyes and ears and acted as a reporter from right after Katrina and other things happened in New Orleans. And Ryan, how are you today?
I'm doing fine, Greg. How are you?
Good. I wanted to, you know, we're going to spend this half hour talking about, we're going to update the people on what's really happening in New Orleans. And then the second half hour, you'll stay with me and we'll bring Clotilde Mack on. And I wanted to talk about her story. But tell us what's the Ninth Ward like today?
Today, the lower Ninth Ward is still a very desolate place. I mean, it's cleaner. They bulldozed down some homes and they cleared off some land and everything like that. But other than that, it's still pretty much the way it was even after the storm. There's no one living down there. No one is rebuilding. I mean, you have a few people here and there that's rebuilding, but other than that, it's just a slow snail's crawl pace that's going on in the city right now.
And it's amazing, isn't it, that we can do so much and so many. We can go to the moon, we can do all these things, but we surely couldn't bring these people home, could we? What is going on? What's wrong with that government down there, FEMA, the rest of these people? What's going on, Brian? Or Ryan?
Well, right now it's just a total lack of leadership, to be honest with you, to put it in a nutshell. You know, the state is blaming the city. The city is blaming the state. The state is blaming the federal government. FEMA's blaming this one. And, you know, it's just a lot of finger-pointing that's going on right now. And it's just nothing's getting done. You just have the people that are suffering, and nothing's getting done.
And you're from the Ninth Ward, correct? That's where you grew up.
Born and bred.
You even told me you used to play football on the levee that broke, right?
Play football on the levee. Used to have Easter egg hunts that the neighborhood used to give in the neighborhood. And, you know, just played a lot of games and whatnot on that levee. That's right, correct.
Two issues I wanted to talk to you about. Are you on your route right now?
No, I'm being transported to the station right now. I just got off, but I'm on my cell phone. But I apologize if I'm breaking up or anything like that.
Oh no, it's fine. I just wondered where you were because I know you're driving a lot around the city, and you've watched it from the time of Katrina till now. From your view as a bus driver. But anyway, two issues. One, we talked earlier about the possibility that those levees. Demolished on purpose.
Right.
Any new information on that? And tell us a little bit what you found out right after Katrina with certain people that heard explosions.
Basically, right now is that it's still, as far as the general public is concerned, it's still a controversy behind that. But as far as actual government involvement or state involvement or city involvement, to find out if this is actually true or if anyone done any investigations or anything, none of that type of stuff was done. So it's pretty much a mute or a dead issue right now as far as the actual blowing up of the levee.
Now tell us a couple of the eyewitnesses. You talked to some of your friends after when Katrina occurred and when those levees broke. Tell us some of their accounts that led you to believe that there was possibly some hanky-panky going on.
You know, like I said, I had a brother-in-law, a cousin, and a close friend of the family that lived maybe a few houses away from my mom's house. And basically everyone is saying the same thing, is the idea that, and even if you go back and look at the documentary with Spike Lee about the when the levees broke, you'll hear the same people were saying, if the power was out, and you had no electricity into the city for hours, you know, why would you say that was a trend?
Are you there? I think we lost Ryan. Ryan, are you there? Manny, see if you can get him back on, and then we'll continue with Ryan. But what he was saying was that he's going to talk about some eyewitnesses that were there when the levees blew, and there was a huge explosions that they heard before some of these people were washed away as they were on their roofs, and then they were washed downstream. It was explained away that transformers blew, but Ryan is saying if there was no power to the city, how could they blow? And it wasn't even in the near vicinity of where the explosions were heard. Okay, we got Ryan back. Go ahead, Ryan. Are you there? Ryan? See if we can get him again. We're having transmission difficulties with his cell phone, and he's on a bus in New Orleans. So see if you can get him again, Manny. We got time, and I can continue on here. If you want to give us a buzz call about 9/11, if you want to call us about Katrina, 800-313-9443, and we lost my guest who's on a cell phone in New Orleans, Ryan Washington. We're trying to get him back on the line, and we will do that. We're discussing, Ryan was an inspiration right after Katrina. I decided to contact some locals in the Lower Ninth Ward to find out really what happened, their tragedy, as well as suspicions about the levees being blown and other things going on in New Orleans. And Ryan provided a lot of information, and he also provided a lot of help to his neighbors who lived down in the Ninth Ward during that time when many people either lost their homes or their lives during the aftermath of the hurricane. But anyway, Ryan's back. Are you there, Ryan?
Yeah, I'm back, Greg. I apologize. Okay.
No problem. Go ahead. Pick up where you left off. You're talking about some of the eyewitnesses you knew, some that were standing on their roofs when they heard explosions by the levee.
Yeah, like I said, I have a cousin, a brother-in-law, and they are a close friend of the family. And, you know, like I said, everyone heard this. And, you know, they just made it, like, to the roof or to the attic in time in order for just to get away from the water. And you also have people that's going around the city that is saying that, you know, you didn't even only hear the explosion, you also felt the explosion. People at the Superdome, people that was in other parts of the town and other parts of the city and at different, well, you know, we don't have counties here. We have parishes and other different parts of and parishes and everything said that they heard the explosion also. But everyone is downplaying the idea that, hey, there's a possibility that they blew the levees up, which, you know, New Orleans, Louisiana has a history of doing these type of things.
And you told us that this occurred once before, didn't it, where the levees were already blown up, right?
Right. You know, like I tell everyone, you know, what are the odds a levee breaking, and then 40 years later that very same levee breaking, and practically the same spot that it broke 40 years earlier. You know, I mean, I think I have better odds of hitting the. I think I have better odds of winning the lottery than something like that happening.
Right. And the water, this was interesting, the timing when the levees finally gave way. This was well after Katrina was passed through New Orleans, right?
Right. If I'm not mistaken, what happened was it was the next day that the levees had actually broken or failed or whatever they're saying that's what happened to them. It was the day after.
Yeah, and you know what? Here's an interesting story. We're going to bring Clotilde Mack on in the next half hour, and you stay with us, and we'll talk together.
Okay.
But she told me this. She was up. She was one of the few people that stayed in her home. Well, I guess there were numbers of people that remained in the Ninth Ward, but she remained, and she weathered the hurricane. She came out of her house and said, "Boy, there's some damage, but I think we'll be okay." And then she said the next, like you said, the next morning, all of a sudden the water just, you know, came in, and she was up in her attic and went in a matter of minutes. So she had felt she weathered the storm.
Yeah, that's true. I have a friend of mine. I mean, it's kind of a funny story at the same time, Greg. Did you see the movie Oh Brother, Where Art Thou?
No. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, they had a segment in that movie where they were standing around talking, and all of a sudden they see a trickle of water run between their feet. And basically I have a friend of mine that said the same thing. It was the day of the storm, it was over, and then all of a sudden that they were standing in the street talking and assessing the damage and everything like that, and then all of a sudden they see water running between their feet. And then after they turned around, and then all of a sudden they see a wall of water just coming at them, and that's basically what was going on.
Yeah, quite suspicious, because you think if the levee broke, it would have broken when it had the most stress upon it, and that would be right before the storm, during the storm.
And you're right. You know, I mean,
after.
Like I said, you have so many different stories about this. But, I mean, you know, it's typical government propaganda or typical government cover-up where you don't do a thorough investigation, you don't talk to the people that is initially or had initially suffered or went through the ordeal, and you're not talking to these people, so you're not really concerned about if this would really occur with these people.
Right. Again, they make their assumption the storm caused it. Forget about what the eyewitnesses say or heard or saw. And so the cover-up goes on. Brian, we're going to take a short break. Come right back. So keep that cell phone ready. And we'll be back in 3 minutes on the Investigative Journal.
Okay.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
Hi, Steve Shank, Fearless Task Force. Sure, you've got a mortgage and credit cards. Your debt creation is probably the smartest thing you've ever done. How would it be to find $75,000, $150,000, $200,000 or more you never knew you had? Now the task force has strategies to make these debts into virtual savings accounts. Ben Franklin said, a penny saved is a penny earned. By doing nothing more than you're doing right now, because you've used your credit, the right strategies can make the debt part of your financial life the smartest thing you've ever done. Oh, by the way, your strategies cost you nothing out of pocket. Go ahead and check out the debt elimination scams if you'd like to. You wouldn't take money from a loan shark, so you may not want to give your money to a debt shark. For an understanding of what a financial genius you truly are, call 800-409-5633. On the web, mydebtfreepath.com. 800-409-5633.
Do you know the truth about cancer treatments? Do you realize that with all presently accepted methods, you are not correctly attacking the cancer and you are mostly fighting to survive the treatment? Do you realize that mutilating surgery, burning and poisoning of your entire system are totally unnecessary? But now it's cancer's turn to die with LaserMed Inc. patented methodology. Without cutting, bleeding, drugs, or damaging radiation, we can destroy skin cancer and breast tumors of any size without adverse side effects at our physician's office. Laser technology at its best. For more information, here's the number to call, 702-953-0267. Or visit www.lasemedinc.com on the web. That's www.lasemedinc.com. That number to call again, 702-953-0267.
And Ryan, another aspect of this story was after the people had left the Ninth Ward and were taken hundreds of miles, thousands of miles away from their homes, many never returned. Then the story cropped up about how the city wanted to bulldoze many of these apartment houses down and then give these people pennies on the dollar. Is that effort going on now, the bulldozing of these homes?
The bulldozing has pretty much stopped. They're not bulldozing the homes that, you know, you have homes that are unlivable. So they use the excuse that they're only going to bulldoze the homes that were obstructing, like, in the street or, you know, that have really floated off their foundations or whatever like that. But they basically have stopped the bulldozing.
Yeah, and I think there's been a lawsuit or something going on there because I remember having on my show a number of activist groups that were stopping the planning of the bulldozing of over 40,000 homes prior to the people coming back and assessing the value. So that hopefully has been stopped. But we must keep an eye out because, as you say, it's a very desolate area still, isn't it, in the Ninth Ward?
Yeah, I mean, Let's just use numbers for the sake of it. Say, for instance, you had over 5,000 people that was in the area now. You may have less than maybe, let's say, anywhere between 150 and maybe 200 people in the area now.
So pretty good, there's no, the community is pretty much disrupted. Any word about Donald Trump again going in there to try to buy up some hotel property in those areas?
No, you're not hearing anything like that right now. You're still hearing about golf courses and things of that nature, or so-called giving back green space and all that type of stuff. But as of right now, I think they kind of exposed everyone for what they were doing and how they were planning on doing it. But as of right now, the Donald Trumps and whoever else, who are these big major developers, they kind of are keeping things hush-hush. But as you know, you still can't say that they're not trying to finagle and do things under the table. But as of right now, you know, you have people that's, like I said, kind of watching them for the simple fact of what happened.
Right, but there's still a lot of these families still have never gotten back to their homes, and some of them are in good shape. I mean, not great shape, but, for example, like Clotilde Mack, who we're going to bring on in the next half hour, and you can stay with us, Ryan, because I met you through the covering her story.
Right.
And still want to get down to New Orleans. It's been a tough road for me to get away, but I have a reason to go down there. My motorhome is still there. And I helped her get back to New Orleans and showed through her story what the government was really doing. And I think we lost Ryan again. Did we lose him, Manny? Yes. Ryan, are you there? What's that? Yeah, get him on the line again, and then I'll finish up the few minutes here. Ryan Washington, my guest, he's more or less he's a bus driver in New Orleans, who's acted as my eyes and ears and a reporter over the years after Katrina hit. And Ryan provided some great information from his perspective. He grew up in the Ninth Ward, played football on the levees, and had friends who came on my show, in fact, and talked about, this was a while back, about how they heard explosions right before those levees broke. And heard massive explosions there. And these were people near the scene who were then washed away. This particular gentleman, a friend of Ryan's, he got him back, was then carried away on his roof and survived. But that was interesting. And I was just recounting why we lost you again, Ryan, what happened right after Katrina. But this idea, just the total lack of really assisting people to get back to their homes, rebuilding, to take that neighborhood back and put it the way it was, doesn't appear to be what they have planned. I mean the government, correct?
No, they don't. It looks like they just have a total disregard for the people that live in the areas. And, you know, it was just a little statistic thing going on that you had more homeowners and that lived in the lower Ninth Ward and the entire city of New Orleans, and, you know, more people own their homes in the lower Ninth Ward than anywhere else in the city of New Orleans, and it's still like a total, disregard of respect to even get the people of an input on what they want to do with their own neighborhood.
Right, and I think in the next half hour, we're going to revisit the Clotilde Mack story, because we can show through the eyes of one woman and what happened, how if we could get, you know, with my limited resources, if I could get one person back there and back into her house, why didn't the government do that with the remainder of the Ninth Ward people with all their resources, unless they had a program which was geared to keep people away while at the same time steal their property in the future?
Right.
That's what I think they plan to do, and that's why they escorted them out of New Orleans and took them a long way away. In fact, our next guest is going to be moving back into her house in the Ninth Ward, one of the few people, and that's thanks to the investigative journal listeners. We'll be back right after this message with Ryan Washington and my guest, Clotilde Mack.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
You got headaches? Most headaches are caused by a structural weakness of blood vessels in the head, and the blood vessels are tending to balloon, causing a headache. The structural weakness is due to a deficiency. Correct the deficiency, and the body will heal itself. I blended what I believed to be the missing nutrients in the right proportions, and the headaches went away. When they were gone, they stayed gone. I named it Headache Stay Gone. See HeadacheStayGone.com or call 800-327-0727 for more information or to place an order. I'll send you a bottle of Headache Stay Gone. Headache Stay Gone will cure your headaches and prevent them from coming back before you pay the bill. Headache Stay Gone has already cured the worst migraines I have ever heard of. Call 800-327-0727. All orders are shipped the same day. Call 800-327-0727. That's 800-327-0727.
There is one and only one national populist news weekly, staffed by an unsurpassed team of veteran investigative journalists who have dared to rip the veil of deception from the cover-up stories promoted by the big money-controlled media monopoly.
American Free Press.
AFP's no-holds-barred journalists fearlessly seek the truth, no matter how controversial the issue. AFP publishes exciting, in-depth, uncensored news and information good patriotic Americans need to know to combat the coming police state being clamped in our republic. The American Free Press is your voice. Subscribe today and catch up on the real news. Mention RBN when you call and receive a one-year subscription plus a copy of Michael Collins Piper's latest bestseller, The High Priests of War. All that for just $49? Call AFP toll-free, 888-699-NEWS, or visit AmericanFreePress.net.
The Republic Broadcasting Network is very proud to present a new educational tool that will inform and update our listeners to the most critically important topics and issues of the day. This new 50 CD collection contains invaluable information, carefully selected from the very best shows in the RBN archives. These standard format CDs have been painstakingly edited to remove all commercials and unrelated topic content. Each CD has been divided into multiple tracks for ease of use and review in any standard CD player. Each CD targets a specific subject matter. For example, Agenda 21, vaccinations, 9/11, depleted uranium, the war in Iraq, fluoride, deception in the churches, genetically modified foods, animal RFID tags, and many more topics. We encourage you to make copies and get them out to as many people as you can. Call and order your library CDs for the price of $150, 800-724-2719, or go to the website rbnlive.com.
Yes, there is a short time left this week, only one half hour on the Investigative Journal. Another great week on the Investigative Journal, many great guests. And I want to spend a few minutes now talking about this story, giving you a background to the Clotilde Max story. She's with us on the line with Ryan Washington, a bus driver in New Orleans. So let me just tell you, and I'll do it as quickly as I can because I want to talk to Clotilde. And Ryan, but let me just mention this. This is how this occurred. I was covering the New Orleans story, like many journalists, after it happened, and I became aware of Clotilde Mack. She was an 85-year-old woman from the 9th Ward who was caught by surprise when the levees broke. She remained in her home with her cats. She did not want to leave it. She owned it outright, and that was all she had in the world left. She lived alone. What happened was she was rushed by a wall of water up to her attic, where she survived by the grace of God. She spent 10 days up in this attic with three cans of greens and a couple bottles of water. Now, she had a cell phone, and she took that with her as she scurried up the stairs and was up to her neck in water in her attic. Now, the first day, when her cell phone was still working, she contacted 911 and the authorities in her town, and gave exact locations of where she was. Now, there was no hurricane going on at this time, and I said to myself, Why didn't they go and help her immediately? Because if they didn't help the older women and the children first, who could they help? But she didn't receive any help from 911 and was left there. Now, she made one more last-ditch call to long-lost relatives in away in Tennessee somewhere, I believe, or nearby state. And she told them that she was up in her attic and she feared that she was going to die. Now, one of her second or third cousins rushed to New Orleans the next day and went to the lines where the National Guard and FEMA were at and said, "My aunt is dying in her house above in her attic. She just called me yesterday. I rushed here 300 or 400 miles to get to her. Please go help her." They refused to go in and help her. And not only did they refuse, they turned him away and wouldn't let him in to help him himself. And so Clotilde Mack remained in that attic for 10 days. And I wrote about the story, got to know Clotilde, and after she got out by the grace of God, saved finally, she was whisked away to a place in Tennessee where she remained in what was considered to be a nursing home or whatever, in one room by herself, and that's where she remained. Now, she expressed interest, as I covered the story, to always go back to her home. She wanted to go back to New Orleans, but she was getting the runaround from FEMA. They wouldn't help her. They were dropping her case. They told her point blank, if she went back to New Orleans, they would drop any kind of money help for her, and that she needed to remain in Tennessee. Well, she became distraught. She was getting very depressed, and I talked to a few of her caseworkers there who were on her side in this small town in Tennessee, and we were trying to concoct a way to get her home. So one day I remember I was talking to Clotilde on the phone, and I said, "Clotilde, if we can't get you the FEMA trailer by at least 2 weeks before Christmas, then I'm going to figure out a way to get you home, and I'm going to let you use my motorhome. I'll get a driver because I can't break away from the radio to go drive you. My motorhome at the time was in Idaho, but we will get you home by Christmas." Well, I struggled with FEMA. They lied. They say they didn't have any trailers for her. They couldn't support her if she went back. She had to remain there. And then I found out they weren't even paying the bill at the home she was staying at. And that was mounting. And guess what? They were going to charge her. Now, here's what happens. So finally, FEMA and the government do what they do well. That's lie, and the real reason was to keep people like Clotilde and her away from New Orleans so that they could then get their homes for pennies on the dollar. So what I did then is I talked to my listeners on the radio. RBN was very helpful in this story, this network, as well as my listeners, who all band together. And first we found a driver. His name was Joe. And we got Joe to come from Florida. He flew from Florida to my place in Idaho, and we began our trek. And that trek was, that was before Christmas last year, or the year before, to get her home before Christmas. And so here's what happens. Joe comes there. We begin driving. And now driving my motorhome from Idaho to Tennessee to New Orleans with the gas prices the way they were, it was quite expensive. So I asked my listeners to help. So we provided some money. We got him off on the road. And then at Walmart's, people would start donating money. And we got Joe all the way from Idaho to Clotilde Mack's residence in Tennessee at this point. Well, I had talked to many of the local officials, including the mayor, and they were cooperating until the motorhome got there. When they tried to arrest Joe, when they tried, they searched my motorhome. They even, in fact, told Clotilde Mack, Homeland Security, "Don't go with these two guys because they're dangerous and you don't even know them." And we were trying to get her home. Well, they did everything under their sun to stop us. But Clotilde stepped forward in that parking lot in Walmart and told these officials, "Get out of my way. I'm going home with my friend Joe and Greg, and that's my motorhome, and let me go." So she ended up getting back to New Orleans. She made a stop to visit her relatives, and they had a nice dinner for New Year's. We ended up then, I rattled the chains of the senator in New Orleans and everyone else, and I said, "You know what? It's going to look pretty bad if you can't provide this woman with a trailer when she gets back there. Well, anyway, here's what happens. She gets back to New Orleans. Mysteriously, a trailer appears within a week that she's still living in, a FEMA trailer. She gets $26,000 to start repairs in her home. We get Catholic Charities to help gut it out. And Clotilde Mack is just about ready now to move into her home in New Orleans. What she'll tell you is that many of her neighbors aren't there any longer, and they could have been in the same position that she is if somebody would have helped them. The government apparently was trying to keep people away, and that's what I get out of this story. Clotilde, how are you today?
Oh, I'm fine. Only I have this hostness.
You have a
in my throat.
You have a cold, so we're gonna. If you feel like you can't talk that much, that's fine. We have Ryan Washington, your friend, with us. Ryan, I know you follow Clotilde's story. It's amazing. Doesn't it show how her story reflects what happened to many other people?
Yes, it does, and it just shows you that the resilience that a lot of our citizens have, and for someone that feels aged to sacrifice and go through what she's going through, is a testament in itself, and it's just a shame that, you know, how the United States doesn't hold and regard our seniors in high respect anymore. You know, we just don't do it.
Right. Now, Clotilde, I know you're going to be moving into your home, right?
Yes, I am.
And you know what? I wanted to mention this. I know you're still trying. What's holding you up now from moving in? Because I know you're still in the FEMA trailer.
Yes. My contractor disappointed me.
What happened?
Your
contractor disappointed you. But your house is livable now, correct? You're able to live
it. It is partly. And he didn't complete. He didn't complete what he's supposed to do. But what I'm waiting for right now is the gas. The gas is, that's it. It's full of water.
Okay.
But
your house is all gutted out, and the walls have all been taken care of. And once the gas problem is corrected, you'll be able to move into toward home.
I have everything in my kitchen, my stove and refrigerator and washer and dryer. And I paid for two bedroom suites that are there just on hold.
Right. Now, you're still in your FEMA trailer, correct?
Yeah.
And that was amazing because I remember when you were back in Tennessee. What did they tell you? They said they didn't have a trailer for you, right?
Yeah, that's what they said. That's what they said, you see.
And I know all you ever wanted to do was get home.
Yeah.
They also told you that if you didn't stay in Tennessee, you wouldn't get any money from them, correct?
Yeah, I have letters to prove of that. Yeah.
So basically,
I chose to come to my home state.
Right, and I know all along all you ever wanted to do was get home. And how did you feel when Joe pulled up in that motorhome, remember?
Oh, the motorhome? Oh, I felt good in the motorhome. Oh, yes. And I'll always appreciate because I would not have had anywhere to stay when I got to New Orleans if you hadn't furnished me with the motorhome.
Right, and I know what was so interesting is when you were in Tennessee and Joe pulled up in my motorhome, they even tried to convince you to stay then, didn't they? They didn't want you to.
Yeah, they did everything, but I told them I was going. No one could stop me from leaving.
Yeah, and they would have if you didn't stand up because Homeland Security had the motorhome surrounded. And unless you came forward and said, I'm leaving, they would have probably arrested poor Joe and impounded my motorhome for trying to do a good deed, get you back home.
Yeah, they said that they would drive me home, you see.
out before then, no one could bring me home, you see.
Right. And so at the last moment, they were going to come forward, and you said, no, these people have helped me all the way, and I'm going home in the motorhome. Well, I'm going to ask Ryan Washington this, and this is just another aspect of the story, Ryan. My motorhome's still down there, and I know you're helping me to try to make sure it's running now. It's been there a long time. I haven't had time to go get it, and Clotilde's used it. And now she's in a trailer. If there's anybody out there that wants to drive a motorhome from New Orleans to Colorado, please call me at 509-242-9681 because Clotilde's going to be moving back to her home, and she doesn't have room for it. She has a small lot, and I promised I would get that off of her hands because she's now watching it for me. And thank you, Clotilde, for taking care of my motorhome.
Oh, yes.
And Ryan, are you going to help us to get that? Make sure it's running now.
I talked to Miss Clotilde the other day, and I told her that how I was working, and I'm gonna try to get over there. As a matter of fact, I'm gonna pass over there this afternoon when I get off at 7:30 this evening, and I'm gonna pass over there tonight and see what the problem of it is, and give you a call and keep you abreast of what's going on with it.
Okay, that'd be great, Ryan. And if there's anybody out there, again, that's in New Orleans, maybe, Ryan, you can find somebody that wants to, make a little money, drive a motorhome back, and then I will fly them back from Colorado. Let me know, because okay. I don't want to leave that motorhome there as a burden to Clotilde. And also I have to look and figure out a way to get it registered because it's been there so long. So maybe there's some type of emergency vehicle sticker we can get, because that's exactly what it was. Yeah. FEMA didn't do it, so we had to do it. And I really, really wonder how many more people could have been home if they really wanted people to come back to New Orleans. Ryan, I know Clotilde's struggling talking, so what do you think? I think you walked through the Ninth Ward where her home's at, and then you said maybe only 100 or 200 people are around. Just the sad story. But here's a perfect story of showing how we could get people back there. It wasn't that difficult. You know what I mean?
Like I said, it's not that difficult for people to get, for the government is not really trying to get the people back home. But you have citizens like yourself that's trying to do everything to get the people home. But the problem is, you still have people today that are still living in cars and whatnot and living in abandoned buildings and gutted out homes and whatnot because FEMA today is still not stepping up to the plate. Do you know that they still have a flux of trailers where people are trying to get trailers for their home, where you still have over 30,000 people that are still trying to get trailers to this day?
Yeah, and there's a whole bunch of empty ones like we found for Clotilde.
I'll tell you what, Greg, if anyone is in Mississippi listening to us, if you was driving up and down I-59 right outside of Hattiesburg, Mississippi, you would see all of the mobile homes or campers or trailers or whatever you call them sitting on side of the road right outside of Hattiesburg, Mississippi. It is ridiculous on how many trailers and mobile homes that you have sitting on the side, and you still have all these people that are in need for homes.
Yeah, and they would not have helped Clotilde either if we didn't rattle the chains of Senator Landrieu's office, and they put up a stink. I'm not going to say they just helped her with open arms. I made at least 3 or 4 phone calls. Finally, talking to the chief assistant to Landrieu, and I told her point blank, I said, if you don't have a trailer for her by tomorrow, you know, this story is going to break all over the city, and I'll tell you what, you're going to look awfully bad. And that's what finally happened.
Right.
They were worried about the bad publicity, and if anything happened to Clotilde there, so they finally moved. But if she would have remained silent, you know, the squeaky wheel gets the grease.
Well,
then she'd still be. Let me tell you what they tried to do, and we said no way. When Clotilde left, the reason they didn't want her to leave the nursing home or the home she was in was there was a huge bill, and FEMA hadn't paid it, so they were going to attach her property as payment. And I said, you better not do that. And they never did. And I talked to the workers there. But they were trying any way possible to get their dirty money, and they weren't. They were about to take her property away. And by getting her back there, by getting FEMA to step to the plate with the trailer, by now having the house gutted, ready to move in, we've shown what their real intentions were. And, boy, it's a miracle. And I know, Clotilde, you're so happy because all you ever did want to do is get back home, wasn't it? Wasn't that the case?
That's right. I'm going to get home.
And I do really also do. Mention some other people. Margaret Hollander, who's an avid listener, who's helped you along the way many times with getting you things and helping you. And I do want to ask the listeners, Clotilde's probably still needs some furniture, some things out there. If there's anybody in New Orleans can help her, please do. We'll be back, our final segment, with Clotilde Mack and Ryan Washington, back after this short break.
Do you know the truth about cancer treatments? Do you realize that with all presently accepted methods, you are not correctly attacking the cancer and you are mostly fighting to survive the treatment? Do you realize that mutilating surgery, burning and poisoning of your entire system are totally unnecessary? But now it's cancer's turn to die with LaserMed Inc. patented methodology. Without cutting, bleeding, drugs, or damaging radiation, we can destroy skin cancer and breast tumors of any size without adverse side effects at our physician's office. Laser technology at its best. For more information, here's the number to call, 702-953-0267. Or visit www.lasemedinc.com on the web. That's www.lasemedinc.com. That number to call again, 702-953-0267.
Do you ever wonder how an opera singer that hits a high note is able to shatter a wine glass? Well, the glass has a natural resonant frequency. If the resonant frequency making the glass vibrate is powerful enough, the size of the vibration will become so large the glass shatters. Using this same principle, Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease-causing organisms can be destroyed using different resonant frequencies. The BioSolutions Frequency Instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions with no side effects. The 2006 BioSolutions Plus is the easiest to operate frequency instrument ever developed. Its easy reference guide will allow you to begin using the instrument within minutes. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. Don't just treat symptoms, eliminate the cause. For more information, call BioSolutions toll-free, 1-866-885-6625. That's 1-866-885-6625. Once again, 1-866-885-6625.
You got headaches? Most headaches are caused by a structural weakness of blood vessels in the head, and the blood vessels are tending to balloon, causing a headache. The structural weakness is due to a deficiency. Correct the deficiency and the body will heal itself. I blended what I believed to be the missing nutrients in the right proportions, and the headaches went away. When they were gone, they stayed gone. I named it Headache Stay Gone. See HeadacheStayGone.com or call 800-327-0727 for more information or to place an order. I'll send you a bottle of Headache Stay Gone. Headache Stay Gone will cure your headaches and prevent them from coming back before you pay the bill. Headache Stay Gone has already cured the worst migraines I have ever heard of. Call 800-327-0727. All orders are shipped the same day. Call 800-327-0727. That's 800-327-0727.
Okay, we're back on the Investigative Journal. One short note, the D.C., the District of Columbia Appeals Court, has ruled in favor of the Second Amendment and has overruled a ban on guns for private individuals in the District of Columbia. That's a huge ruling for those of you fighting for the right to carry weapons. which is a Second Amendment right. So go and look that up on the Google, search Google, D.C. court gun ban has been overruled. And we'll maybe do a show on that later on. I really want to look into that court case. It just came down. Okay, we're going to get back to Clotilde Mack and Ryan Washington, our final few minutes. If there's anybody out there that Clotilde's just about ready to move into her home, one of the few that have moved back to New Orleans in the Ninth Ward. She's going back to a neighborhood that Brian calls desolate. Not many of her neighbors are there. So if you can lend her a hand any way possible, contact me, 509-242-9681. If you're in New Orleans and can help her, I know she needs a few things yet. FEMA is now, FEMA has, they owe you some money too, don't they, Clotilde? Are you there? Clotilde?
Yes, I'm here.
You're still waiting on some FEMA money too, aren't you? Okay. I know you're under the weather. I'm sorry to make you have to talk so much. But I just want just the last few words, and then I'll finish with Ryan. Clotilde, yes. I know you wanted to thank all the people that helped you, so go ahead.
Oh, yes, I want to get home. I want to get home, and I appreciate any kind of help that I can get.
Right.
I appreciate it.
And I know that there's many people in the past that have helped you that you've thanked on my show. And I am going to let you go. You sound like you have a cold, but we're going to make sure that, you know, we're not going to forget about you now. You're just about in your house. So thanks for being on the show, Clotilde.
And Greg, I will never forget you. Oh, no. I pray for you and pray for the success that you will have. And with Ryan, and tell Ryan that my trailer number is B as in boy, 16.
B16, that's where you're at. Okay, yes, and I'll tell Ryan that because he's going to. Yeah, he's going to come over and visit you.
We have security at the gate.
Okay, I'll tell him that.
The trailer number. Yes.
Okay, thank you, Clotilde, for those kind words. And I'm going to talk to Ryan right now. That was Clotilde Mack. And Ryan, that's her trailer is B16.
Okay.
Are you there, Ryan?
Yeah, I got it.
Yeah, and she said there's security at the gate, so when you go right there, just say you're coming to see her at B16. Ryan, I want to thank you again. Boy, I'll tell you, you should be getting double pay. One as a reporter from your newspaper and one as a bus driver. But you know what? When I get to New Orleans, I'm going to take a ride on your bus and talk to you for hours. So don't worry about that. Thanks for all your help, Ryan.
No problem. But like I said, Greg, I'm not worried about the pay. I'm just trying to help out with the injustices that's going on right now, with not just with me, but with a whole lot of other people out there.
All right. We'll get back to you again and always keep an update on New Orleans through your eyes and ears. Thanks again, Ryan.
All right. No problem, Greg. Thanks for having me on the show.
Okay, that was Ryan Washington from New Orleans. You heard the Clotilde Mack story updated. Thank you to RBN for helping her and also the listeners of this show who made it possible for her to get back to New Orleans. Special thanks to Margaret Hollander, who still keeps an eye on Clotilde. She's an avid listener. We're going to be back next Monday, same time, same place. Until then, good afternoon.